Okay, guys, so really quickly before this episode starts, I just wanted to throw a little trigger warning for the episode. We do talk about, you know, your relationship with food and self-image issues and body image issues and EDs. I'm sure you could tell from the title. So I just wanted to kind of go into that really quickly before you listen to this episode, just in case you do get triggered or sensitive by any of these topics. And thank you so much. Let's start with the episode.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of For You From Eve. I'm here with Hannah, who is a fitness influencer I found on Instagram. Absolutely obsessed with her workouts, always following them. Hannah, do you want to jump in and say hi?
Hi. Thank you for the intro. I am a fitness influencer, slash content creator, and I'm an online coach, and I live in London, and I've been doing this for a little over a couple of years now. I've started doing it full time about 6 months ago. So big shift.
Yeah. And you're the first Londoner I've had on. So your accent, people are probably listening and so excited to listen to it because it's so fun to listen to. How old are you?
I'm 20 years old. I'm 21 in a couple of weeks. So still so pretty young. For some people, so young.
So I get I'm the same age as you, but I'm so young because I still expect you to be older, even though I'm the same age as you. I'm maybe 24, because I feel like when you see people on Instagram that have it together, you're they gotta be older.
Yeah, well, I meet a lot of people when I go to events and stuff. They all seem to be around 24, and when people ask me how old I am, I get so nervous to say, because I think people, there's such a kind of stigma around ages. You say a certain age and straight away someone's perception of you can change. Mm-hmm. If you say how old you are, and it's I'm self-employed and I'm 20 years old, and people I feel like people look at me and they're you don't know what you're doing, you're too young to be doing that. And
yeah. And you said you've been doing it for how long? 6 months?
So I've been full-time just doing this for 6 months, and before then it was just something I did on the side. I started many people in lockdown. I was a bit bored.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, you have a big following. If you got that following in 6 months, I was wow. When did you if you started in quarantine, when did your following kind of start to grow a lot? Or were you doing something on your feed that was a little bit different where you're oh, people are really liking this?
I think it was just because obviously I know in the States you went into lockdowns at different times, but in the UK everyone went into lockdown March 2020, and it was about a month later and I started it, and everyone wanted to work out from home, and they had all this extra time. A lot of people weren't going to work. So I started posting recipes and stuff online. And I think because people were bored, they had the time to try out new recipes. That did really well. And I was working out in my garden and just using it as accountability. And literally, I think it was about 6 weeks in, I reached 10,000 followers.
Wow.
And as soon as you get that K at the end of the number, people just start reaching out to you, and it was just moving really quickly, and I was oh my gosh, I could make quite a bit of money off of that. People were approaching me and I was this could actually turn into a job. I just need to think tactically about this. But at that point I was still at university and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and I didn't know if I liked the idea of being self-employed. I think it takes a lot of accountability and self-motivation, which is something that I've not always had.
Yeah. Have you 6 weeks is a crazy amount to reach 10K followers. I really don't know anyone who's grown that. What are kind of your best tips, I guess, to grow an Instagram that fast?
I think I always say to people, it was 100% down to timing. There was an audience for it and so many people were on their phones at that point. But I think just consistency, you've got to be consistent, and people like people. So the more you show yourself and your personality online, I think there's a really hard balance of sharing too much and not enough. And then being honest, you don't want to be depressive online, if you're having a bad day, but it's good to share those bad points as well. I think people find it so much more relatable. And I think I had quite a deep fitness story. I had quite a bit of a fitness background that people were intrigued by, and that definitely helped, and talking about that on my page definitely engaged with a lot of people.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get into your fitness story in a little bit. I want to talk still about I guess just fitness influencers in general, because I don't know if it's just because I'm kind of entering the space now, but it is all that I see on my TikTok. And I know like TikTok picks up on your algorithm, but it's like for the past few months, it's crazy how many people are self-employed from home and are doing this for a living. And it makes you think like, how is it not an oversaturated space? You're like, how are all of these fitness influencers and lifestyle wellness influencers making money and making a living out of this? Like it's honestly insane. And I get nervous to post my workouts on Instagram or TikTok. Like I posted an Insta story this today of my workout, and I'm like, I just know my form is probably off. Someone's going to be like, she doesn't know what she's doing or whatever. But honestly, like it is very empowering to be at the gym and not be afraid to take out my camera and start recording. Did you ever have any problems with, I'm scared to upload this, someone that I know is going to see it or anything?
Yeah, I had. So when I first started, I knew I was going to have friends. And I think when I always say, if your friends don't support you, they're not proper friends. But I had a few people like in my like friendship circle that I would like block and stuff. And even when I first started going out with my boyfriend, whenever I used to talk my stories, I'd like hide them from him because I would get really embarrassed, because I don't know, there's a certain type of like cliche, like stigma around it. But now, yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. I'll whack my tripod out in the gym. I just think like, look, this is my job and yeah. I need to get it done. So yeah, I don't think it's, but I did have points, what you were saying about form. Mm-hmm. I used to be nervous to post things. To be honest, there's so much information online, and some people think you should do things certain ways, some people think you should do it other ways. I always like try and put notes and stuff. Maybe if I've taken a clip and the form's not like great, I'll put it on so people don't try and like copy. But that is, I did my PT course last year, and just kind of to give me that bit more of like backing, because I did feel like I didn't want to be putting all this content online. Like I've been into fitness for quite a while, so I was like, I'm pretty confident in my knowledge, but I was like, I just want to be qualified so people can't come out with me like, do you actually know what you're talking about? Yeah,
exactly. Like when I first started working out, had no idea what I was doing. I was going to the gym and doing like 30 minutes on the treadmill and then like a 30 minute ab workout. I did like the same one every day for like 5 months because I was so scared to like try a new machine or like have someone like see me do something wrong or whatever it was. And for the past like maybe 6 months or so, I've been trying out so many different machines, like not being afraid to pick up weights and just kind of like exploring like my body and like my strength and like different areas to work out. And when you actually fall in love with working out, I know you've been doing it for a few years, it really is like your escape. Like I know we were messaging, I told you that I had a concussion this past week, and yesterday was my first day back at the gym in a week. And that week that you can't work out, once it's part of your lifestyle, you're like, what do? You're like, I have to move my body. Like being on bed rest is miserable.
I know what you mean. I think it's also part of your routine as well. Like I'm a morning gym person. I get up, I have a coffee, I go to the gym, I come back, have breakfast, and then like my day starts. And even like on a day where I rest, I know I need to rest, I'm like feel so out of routine, and it's like I want to go to the gym. Like you said, it's a massive escape, and I think that is so, yeah, like so many people can relate to that. It's just to go there and just kind of just put your headphones in and get on with it, and like you said, kind of test what your body can do. I think that's the best bit about it.
Have you ever worked out like in the night, or have you always been a morning workout person? Because I always want to know like the difference of it, because I work out at night. I used to work out in the morning, and then I realized that I was always so miserable going to my workouts because I'm not a morning person. So I'm like, I work out at like 5, 6 p.m. Do you know like if there's any difference between working out in the morning versus night?
I don't think there is. Like when I chat to like clients or anyone on Instagram and stuff like that, I always say, I think it's just down to the person, because I wasn't a morning person. I kind of had to train myself to do that. I didn't force myself to do it, but I started like, right, I'm going to go to bed earlier, get up and do it, only because one, like my gym is so busy at 6 o'clock. And for me, that was a bit of a problem with filming. I was like, I just can't do it. Like it was packed and I was like waiting for equipment, and there's nothing worse. You go do a workout and nothing you want is available. I just get frustrated because I like just want to get it done. Yeah. And I think for me, if I've been sitting at my desk all day, like editing or kind of doing anything like that, by the end of the day, I'm like, feel a lot more tired in myself. So I'm just like, oh, I can't be bothered. It's going to be busy. And I'll make excuses. Whereas I just find it works better for me in the evening. But I do go I mean, in the morning. I do go in the evening sometimes. I'm going this evening.
Okay, I want to get into your fitness journey. How did you start? Was there a point where you were never into fitness? Was there kind of like a low point where you were like, okay, I have to pick myself out of this low point and get into working out and get into wellness?
Yeah, so I guess I've always, it's fair to say that I've never been like, always been a really skinny kid. Like growing up, I was like a bag of bones, my parents would call me. And when I was about 14, I've always been really active as well, like joined all the sports teams at school. I used to compete really random, but different. I used to do a lot of water sports, so like windsurfing and sailing, and used to go around like competing. And so I was always super active, like never a problem, didn't really care about my body image. And then just something changed when I got to about 14. I was at boarding school, which is that was a big change in my life. And I was at boarding school and there were so many girls there and they were like all into athletics and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, like I want to be fitter. And I started running like once a day, and I couldn't run at all. I wasn't that fit because the kind of sports I did were like short stamina.
Yeah.
So I would literally just run around the field until I could like get the whole way around without stopping. And it got really addictive for me quite quickly. And I started, so like I would want to be able to do like the whole 5K without stopping. And then I joined the swim team and I was training, like swimming like 4 or 5 times a week and then going on runs as well. And like before I knew it, I started like dropping weight quite quickly. And like at this point it was harmless. Like I just wanted to get fit. And as I was dropping weight quite quickly, you get obviously like this weight loss high. It feels so great. And you have that like short burst of energy before it all comes crumbling down. And then before I knew it, I looking back now, I can't even remember how I made the transition. It went from just working out to doing like 5 swim sessions a week, 5 runs. I was like at our break time doing crunches in my room, like on the floor. I'm sure there's a lot of girls that can relate to that. Like I would literally ever be downstairs like having a snack and I'd be going upstairs and I'd have to get in my like crunches. And then like the food just started dropping. And I think it happened once. So I was obviously at boarding school at this time, and like my matron, who's kind of like your house manager, I don't know if it's similar in the States, but she approached me, like my friend was really worried and was like, oh, Hannah, like keep skipping meals and stuff like this. She approached me, wanted me to talk about it. And like, of course, if anyone else had an eating disorder, you might know you can get quite defensive. And I remember getting really defensive, like, I can't believe you're saying this, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong, like I'm going out for a run, like leave me alone. And I just look back and I'm such a horrible person. And yeah, it just scaled pretty quickly. I had to go home. And I was literally a couple of weeks later, I was admitted into hospital. I had like a problem with my heart it's obviously a like quite sad thing, but like I love talking about it because I want people to be aware of what you can do to yourself by just like not eating properly or not looking after yourself. Like I'm so lucky that it's not really become a long-term effect, but I was talking to a girl the other day and she had a similar issue and now she's got like long-term problems because of the way she treated herself. But yeah, I went into hospital and that was probably the changing point for me when I was like being like monitored all the time, like, and seeing my family come in, like, because I was away, they didn't really realize what was happening. It was kind of like they saw me and it happened over such a quick period of time. Like I think maybe like maximum 6 months. Like they saw me a couple of months earlier, thought nothing was wrong. Mm-hmm. And then like 2 months later, like they're sitting next to me in a hospital bed and like severely underweight and stuff like that. And I remember just wanting to get out of the hospital. So for me, that was like the changing point. And then after that, I kind of still like, I think it takes a couple of years to kind of get over it. I think for some people it can take a lot longer. But it took me a few years to kind of get back into doing any kind of sport and having a better relationship with that. I think I was actually scared because I don't know if it's saying in your head, I just knew that I could get addicted to it really quickly again. So I was so scared to get back into sport. And I think it probably took about a couple of years. And then I started doing I didn't know what to do after that. I would do the walking on the treadmill, the 20 minutes ab workout. And that was kind of like when it all started. I just decided I wanted to make a change. So Yeah.
I feel like when you said, I love when people, obviously when they're comfortable to share their stories, do share it, because people listening to this are probably, some of them maybe are almost on that path, or like you said, that weight loss high that you get when you first start working out and eating a little bit less and you see your body changing and you're like, wait, I want to keep this going. And then you become so obsessed that it's just a cycle. And for me personally, I can totally relate to kind of having a bad relationship with food. Like, there were many times where I would try to like force my stomach to shrink, and I'd be like, I need to shrink my stomach. I'm going to eat smaller portions and less food during the day, and I'm going to count my calories and go in a calorie deficit. Like all these millions of things I was doing to lose weight, because I've been working out for over a year and like I don't look that different than I did a year ago, because I was working out but I wasn't changing my eating habits. And then in the past few months I was like, okay, Liv, like you have to get it together. You have to cut out all these foods. I cut out gluten. I cut out dairy. I cut out literally so many foods because I just found out my body had like an intolerance to them. Like my stomach never changed in the past year. And I was like, okay, like I'm either bloated or something's going on because it looks the exact same. It hurts all the time. And then after like going to doctors, I found out I can't have gluten or dairy. So now it's like, I can't have gluten or dairy. So I become very restrictive on what I can eat. But then it's like, yeah, you don't want to eat just a bunch of carbs, and it kind of just messes with your head. And you're like, why am I going crazy about food that's supposed to nourish me? You know?
Yeah. I think there's a massive problem. And I think it's like the kind of bottom, the foundation for a lot of people's like problems with food. There's so much information online, and it's fair to say like certain diets work for certain people. Like some people really thrive on like say a keto diet, but it's not for everyone. And I think that's one thing that never helped me, is that I would see so many people online like, you shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't eat that, you shouldn't eat this, or like people going dairy free just because they think it's good for them, not necessarily because they've got an intolerance.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, I need to cut this out. And I think like you said, it's dangerous when you start cutting too many things out. You can, your mind just goes into panic and you're like, oh my god, what do I eat? And then you just end up not eating anything. Like mm-hmm. It seems such a bizarre process, but it does just happen.
Yeah.
I think too much information is scary for a lot of people, and you can't process it. Like you need simple, it needs to be broken down like simply, and just yeah.
I don't know how like London ingredients are, but if you compare like, honestly, I think if you compare the US like ingredient for the same exact snack compared to anywhere in Europe, the US ingredients have like millions of more things added to them. Like, I don't know if you've ever like looked it up before. I've looked it up for like Australia versus US. It's the same exact like product, but US just adds so many more like chemicals and all these things to like make it last longer. And it's disgusting because we have no idea what we're putting in our bodies.
It's so crazy because I've got some family over in Australia, and it's my uncle, and my grandparents went out to visit them recently. And my uncle always asked them to bring out dairy milk, like Cadbury's chocolate, because in Australia they put like certain additives in it to stop it from melting. I think it's to stop it from melting in the sun. And it does not taste the same. Like it's nowhere near as good. So they literally just take out like stacks of chocolate. And I think the one with the US is something like Coke. There's a substance that's banned in the UK, but you can have it in Coca-Cola in the US, which I just don't get how that works. Surely it's like standard everywhere. If something's banned somewhere, surely it should be banned everywhere.
The US has sometimes, I've never had like a Monster energy drink or like a Red Bull like in my life, because I just see it and I'm just like, I am terrified of what this has in it.
Like, yeah, absolutely, no, me terrified. Too. But that's just because of what people say. And I think it's such like a stigma. I mean, I don't think they're good for you at all. Like, I'm pretty convinced when I have one, I get like heart palpitations.
Yeah.
Like, it's like some people's go to drink when they go out, and I'm like, I could not drink that all day. I'm not an energy drink person. Like natural things to me, I'll just have a coffee. Like it's just not because I'm like against it or anything like that. I just not doesn't bother me.
Do you take pre-workout?
I actually don't. No, I've just never found one that I liked. I got sent one once by a brand, and it's not worth it. I remember it was like a little shot, and I took it for a workout, and I couldn't even finish it. And for me, if I don't enjoy taking something, I won't take it, because no matter how good it's for me, it's like people doing like apple cider vinegar shots. It's really great for your gut. So like, if you want to fix your gut, yeah, do one of those. But I'm not waking up in the morning and necking one of those back, because that is not how I want to start my morning. I'm sorry.
It's rough. That's how I am too, is exactly with apple cider vinegar. There was a point every single morning I was having it because I was like, I need to heal my gut. I need to heal my gut. But I don't want to wake up in the morning and like be like, oh, no, I have to go take my apple cider vinegar shot. Yeah. Like, it's horrible. I was drinking Celsius for kind of a while as a pre-workout. Have you? Like, you've heard of Celsius, I'm assuming, or no?
I don't think I have, no.
Really? They don't have that in the UK?
No, our big ones in the UK, like MyProtein, are like a pretty big brand. Some of the other ones, like Bulk, Protein Works.
Wow. Celsius is like the biggest thing in the US for pre-workout. It's like a green tea infused like can, and it's like flavored. It's like seltzer. It actually tastes so good.
That sounds nice.
It sounds so good. And it like in the ingredients, it doesn't have like crazy ingredients that you can like understand. And it says it's like green tea infused. It's like zero calories. So that's what I was drinking as a pre-workout. And like everyone was drinking it as a pre-workout. And then all of a sudden my TikTok started getting flooded with people whose livers were being damaged because they were drinking this drink or like drinking like some type of pre-workout. And I don't think people realize how bad pre-workout actually is for you. I don't like it at all. It like makes me panic and like gives me anxiety before my workout.
That's crazy. I've never like experienced that. I always see people like, oh, when the pre-workout kicks in. And I always thought like, oh, how can it really? Yeah, but I've never really tried it. Like, I don't see the point really. I've got enough energy.
Yeah, it's like good for you anyways.
Yeah, if I don't have the energy naturally, I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't be doing the workout.
Exactly. I like that. So once you kind of were getting out of this low point, what were some steps that you were taking to slowly transition into a healthy lifestyle and kind of reset your mindset?
I think the first thing for me was like, my family was so supportive. They were amazing. And they did a great job of just distracting me, like kind of throwing me back into things I love doing, like seeing friends, because I think if anyone else like had problems with food and stuff like that, I was really antisocial. Like, I was always really social at school. And then when it happened, I just would block everyone out. And like I said, when I look back at it, I know I was a horrible person probably to be around, because all I was thinking about was when I was going to get in my next workout, like how I was going to avoid eating dinner. Like, that was all that was running through my head. So like, social events just went on the decline. Like, I really did shut a lot of people out. So the next steps for me was kind of like really like gaining that balance and learning to go to social events. And like, obviously, like I spoke to a lot of my friends about it, so they were super supportive, because I remember there was a couple of times where I got like upset in public.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself made me quite embarrassed. Like, I think we went to dinner and like I just got really like upset and like anxious at the table. We went to like one of like the pizza and pasta chains in the UK. I just had a big bowl of pasta. It was obviously so good, really enjoyed it, and just like burst out into tears. And one of my friends was like, what's wrong? And then like my other friend kind of knew what was wrong and stuff like that. So that was like the first thing that I tackled, was to try and get used to actually having a life, like, and learning to deal with that whilst like living my life. Because I think some people learn to deal with it by just avoiding the problem. Like, I think you have to face it front on. Like, I was obviously terrified to go out and like eat food that I didn't know how many calories were in it and stuff like that, but I had to do it. And I was so lucky that the people around me were super supportive and kind of like battling that, because I think the more you do it, the more you realize, okay, like, I'm fine. Like, I've just eaten this big bowl of pasta, I've had a really nice evening with my friends, and I don't feel any different. I might feel a bit full, but I'll wake up tomorrow and the bloating would have gone, and I'll have energy and I can go do a good workout. I think that's the process you've got to go by. And I think it took me, I was quite lucky. I came out of hospital like right before summer. So there was lots going on. I was super distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And like, before I knew it, I was just kind of like, yeah, just, I was so busy that I didn't think about it. But then I do think there's a lot to be said for like brushing things under the carpet. Like, you can distract yourself as much as you want, but sooner or later you do have to face the problem. And then I went back to school back in September, and I think that's when it kind of like started like to kind of come back to the surface. But yeah, I did do like therapy for a bit. I think it's great to talk to someone who's been in a similar situation and they can understand, because I think the worst thing about it all is that you can feel like a massive outsider.
Yeah.
Like, I was obviously, when I used to tell people what's wrong, I was like, I kind of get this voice in my head that tells me, like, I can't do this, can't do that. And I'm like competing with myself in my head. And people just look at you like, you're a psychopath. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, she's schizophrenic. And I think even like my parents, like, I used to hate talking to them about it because they just didn't see it on the cards. Like, I remember my mum getting really upset when it first happened, and she was like, I was ready for anything. Like, do you know what I mean? You to have an illness, something like that. But a mental illness just didn't really come onto the cards. Like, she didn't think it would ever happen to us. And I think that's the thing, you never know who is going to happen to. So one thing I always say to people, you always got to be careful what you say in front of people. You never know, like, who's going to take it to heart and like how that could affect them in the long run. Yeah. And I think that is all part of the healing process. It's just actually, it's who's around you and how you like kind of comfort yourself as well. I think facing it front on is the best way to go about it.
Yeah. I think how you said that, the people around you is such a big part. It's such a big part, maybe even the biggest, because it's like, if you talk about your problems, or let's say you're someone like, I struggle with anxiety. And it's like, if I talk to someone about it and they're like, anxiety doesn't exist, like, it's all in your head, it's fake, it's not real, it just makes you kind of go crazier. And it's like, oh my God, am I crazy? Am I this? Am I that? And if you aren't around the right people, even if people haven't been in the same situation, but can be understanding and try to kind of put themselves in your shoes and try to see it how you see it. Because like you said, especially when it comes to, I feel like, eating habits and body image, people are just going to see you and be like, you're skinny. Why do you care if you're eating this or that? Like, why? You can't have a problem if you're already have a nice body. And it's like, people don't really understand it if they only see the outside of it. Like, I've been in situations like that where I'm like, no, I'm not eating past 8 p.m. because I don't want to wake up bloated. And people will be like, oh my God, you're thin. Like, why do you care? And it's just like, it has nothing to do with like being thin or like, you know, whatever. It's about how you feel as well. And kind of just, I used to be very tiny growing up. Like, I was like, a stick growing up, and like 4'10", like I was so like short, tiny. And then I had just like a really big and random growth spurt where I'm 5'7" now. Like, I went into high school 4'10" and I left high school as 5'5". Like, I had a huge growth spurt. And then with the growth spurt and height comes extra weight. It's like the number on the scale gets bigger, and you stop high school sports and now you're entering college and you're gaining the weight. And it's like, everything happened so fast that it just made me think, like, I'm not as thin as I used to be, and my body actually reacts to food now. And I think just like being a woman and kind of going through those changes and your body changing over time, you get kind of anxious because everything goes so fast and you're like, wait, like, how did I gain this much weight? Like, now I really have to watch what I eat. And it just honestly, like, it makes your mind kind of like spiral a little bit into like your eating habits and what you're putting into your body.
I literally couldn't relate more because it was kind of similar for me. I had a massive growth spurt and I was that skinny kid. I could finish a whole pizza and like I would eat so much, I just wouldn't gain any weight. And then all of a sudden, like, it starts to catch up with you. And I think it's just so sad that we feel like we have to look a certain way.
I know.
And like, obviously, I think it changes throughout, like, over the years. But when, like, we were a similar age when I was growing up, like in the UK anyway, like, it was so, everyone wanted like a flat stomach, a thigh gap, like that's, I wanted a thigh gap so badly. And now I know that my body's not built like that. Like, I'm pretty like big bone, I'm quite broad, and like that's just not gonna happen unless I'm like ridiculously underweight. And it's just learning to deal with that. And I think that's what I love the most about the fitness community online. There's been a massive like positive shift towards like everyone's their own body, and like just training and doing like fitness stuff to be the strongest you and not to look a certain way. Sadly, there's still some people online that really do like kind of like dwell on that like clickbait, and they're like, oh, do this to get a toned stomach in 2 weeks. And influencers that do that, it does kind of like just wind me up the wall a bit, because I just think it's, you're selling someone something that's not realistic, and you're encouraging them to want certain like body, like certain looks. And you shouldn't be doing that. You should encourage someone to be the best version of themselves, whether that's like really toned or like a slim athletic build. Like, I always say to people that if you stop worrying about everything, your body will find its like natural equilibrium. like as soon as I stopped worrying about what I was eating and just like working out like consistently and doing what I enjoyed, my body now for the last like couple of years has sat at the exact same weight. Yeah. Like, and I probably, and I feel confident, I'm pretty confident in how I look, and I haven't done anything. Like I just kind of stopped worrying and then it just sits there and yeah. it won't change. When you start like tampering with everything, that's when you're going to see it fluctuate, and then you'll see it go up, and then you'll be like, oh my gosh, it's going up. And it's just, yeah.
I read this book called Atomic Habits, and in the book he says habits now, results later. So it's like building that habit of feeling good and not thinking about what you look like, and just being like, I'm going to the gym and it makes me feel strong, I'm eating a smoothie instead of a pack of Oreos because it's going to make me feel better, like, and not worrying about what you look like, not worrying about the end result, and kind of just focusing on the journey. And I feel like that's helped me so much, because it's like when I do cut out, you know, gluten or dairy, I feel better. Like I wake up in the morning and I'm like, wait, I'm not bloated and my stomach doesn't hurt. And I didn't wake up with a new pimple. And it's like, yeah, obviously if I have gluten in a few days, I'm going to wake up with a pimple and bloated, but that's like obviously a very different condition. So it's like, I feel like when you focus on how you feel, eventually the way you look will change. It's going to happen eventually, but you kind of just have to focus on the steps instead of the destination. And I think that's a mindset that just helped me so much, because I stopped focusing on what I looked like. And yes, there's still low points where I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I wish I could change this and that. Or like, not every day is going to be a great, positive, confident day. And there's days where I don't like how I look before I leave the house or whatever it may be. But as long as majority of your days are felt with feeling confident, I've just kind of learned that confidence actually comes from within. I feel like I've heard that my whole life. And when you get older, you actually believe it, because I look at the good qualities I have as a person. I don't think about, oh, I like my hair and my arms or this or that. Like I think about what I like about myself. And eventually one day I will get to that point of liking the physical. But I think right now, just focusing on, you know, how to change. Like you said, when people post like, do this for a flat stomach, I absolutely hate when I see like a TikTok and this person is like, have this drink every single morning and you'll have a flat stomach. It's like, no, like there's a million other things that have to go into it. And now this person is going to have this drink every day until they see changes without working out, without cleaning their diet. Like that's why I love fitness influencers like you and others, because it's not just do this one thing and you'll lose weight. It's like, here are the things I did to change my lifestyle and turn my life around.
Yeah. And it's like a multitude of things too, that so many things work hand in hand. And like when people approach me and they're like, oh, what should I do for this? I'm always like, it's so different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why I got into it. So like I do like online coaching now, because it's a so much better way of kind of giving people the knowledge they need, but like personalized to them. Like, so people approach me and they tell me what they want to do. We'll have like a long chat and I'll say, okay, let's try this. Because as obviously I know, like I obviously post workouts online, but they're more for like inspiration. Yeah. And just kind of feel a bit stuck. It's not a case of like, if you follow this workout, you're going to look like me, because that is not the case. For what you were saying about confidence, someone once said to me, they were like, confidence is the best thing you can ever wear. And one thing that I've always like struggled with, like when I leave the house and I don't like what I'm wearing or something, I'm going to an event, I can really let that really swallow me and just ruin my whole evening, because I'm like really like just like hiding and like feeling really like self-conscious. But if you walk into a room with a lot of confidence, people will like notice you and you will be more attractive than anyone else who's not confident. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, what you look like, being confident is definitely the most attractive quality.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing. I feel like every girl is the same with going out. It's like if our makeup or hair doesn't come out right, or we're wearing an outfit where we don't like where our body looks, we're like, I'm not going anymore. Like me and my friends will get ready together, and there's always one of us that's like, I don't like my hair, I'm not going. Like, I'm not leaving the house with my hair like this. There's no way to fix it. Always. Like it just never fails to happen. And it's like, now everyone has to convince them that like they look good, because they do. But then when you're the person, you're like, I don't believe it. But then when you see your friend doing it, you're like, wait, she looks beautiful. Like, why is she questioning it? So it's like, we don't treat ourselves the same way we treat our friends. And I always say to treat yourself like someone you love. Like, you're going to see your friend walk into a party and you're going to be like, she looks so pretty. I love her outfit. I love this. Like, we could do that about ourselves too. You know, I feel like that's not getting like normalized enough.
Yeah. I think that's so lovely. I think it's so true. You have to love yourself like you'd love someone else.
Yeah. And I also want to talk about creating goals and kind of taking steps to achieve them. So what are some, I guess, examples of fitness goals that are kind of realistic, but also not like, you know, damaging to mental health or just like, I want to lose 5 pounds, you know? So what are some fitness goals that you have kind of seen or just lifestyle health goals in general that have really helped with your wellness journey?
I think probably just building a routine would definitely be the first one. Like if you want to get into the gym, make the time for the gym. I always like time block my days and stuff like that. So always have a slot in the, like my like day that I like, I've like slotted out for the gym. So I really realistically, you've got no excuse not to go. I think that is so important if you want to build a routine, and like trial and error at first to find out something you like, because you don't, just because you're seeing people weight train online does not mean that you need to do that. Like find out what works for you. Some people really like HIIT training. They love like being outdoors. They want to go running. Like if that works for you, works for you. Always set short-term goals. Like mental goals, I think, are sometimes better than physical goals. I would always advise someone never to set a goal on like a physical appearance. Like I want to get a bum. Like, honey, we all want to get a bum, really. Yeah. But if you build the routine and you look after yourself first, like you were saying earlier, it will come like as a side product. And as long as it should just never be your main focus, because I think that's when it swallows you up. Like, because then if you don't start achieving like that bigger bum look that you want, then you're going to start like eating yourself up, going, what am I doing wrong? And that's when it gets obsessive. That you've got to go for like, I'm going to feel good. I want to go to the gym 5 times a week to feel good and get stronger. And I'm going to push those weights up. And then simultaneously, you probably will grow a bum. Yeah. And if you don't, there's lots of other reasons why you might not be. But it's always good to have kind of more like mental goals than physical, for sure. Would probably be my biggest thing. I don't really have any small goals myself definitely at the moment. A lot of mine are like career focused at the moment, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I want to end off talking about Evolve. So what is it? Just give yourself like a promo. Like, when did you start it? Why did you start it? And kind of what do you do for it?
Okay, so basically I started just over a month ago now. I've been like working on it for a while, but it's basically an online coaching platform. I have like my own app where people can approach me, and like I said, I'll chat to them, they'll inquire, they kind of say what they want to do, we'll get on a phone call, we'll talk about their goals, like what they want to achieve, where they're at now, and then I build them like personalized workout plans, personalized meal plans to help them follow. And a lot of my girls, they just want to get into like a healthier routine, which is so great. And so they'll have these plans and I'll go along with them, follow along with them. And all of it's like in the app on the phone, they can follow along really easily and they can chat to me whenever they want. And we have like weekly check-ins to keep them accountable. Yeah, it's just a really like fun thing. And kind of why I wanted to start it, it's like what I was saying is that there isn't like one shoe that fits all. So all these fitness apps online and stuff like now, and you can join all these different programs. I've done quite a few of them, but if you really want to see like big changes, like the best investment you can make is an investment in yourself. So I would always recommend it to someone is to get like a coach or like a PT, like basically the coaching, I'm like a PT in their pocket.
Yeah.
And like going along with them the whole step of the way to keep them accountable. And like I said, it's all personalized to them. So they're not just trying this program that's going to get you like a flat stomach in 8 weeks. It's just kind of made in a day by some randomer on the internet. Like this is made around their routine, around their day-to-day living, like all the meal plans are kind of like, they're just so, they're not restrictive at all, which is the best thing. Like I literally have girls that have struggled. So I've got a few girls that have got eating disorders, well, like are recovering. And each week we'll set mini goals on like foods they should tackle and like try and I'll put them into the meal plan. And it means they don't have to like stress too much about what they're eating. It's all there.
Yeah.
It's such a lovely community to be in. I think that's kind of why I wanted to start it, was to take my experience and kind of give it to someone else, because the one thing I always wish for is at the beginning that I just wish I had more guidance. I wish I had one solid voice that was like, this is what you should be doing, this is what you should be ignoring, and like you should be doing this, instead of like, I obviously was young and I just googled things on the internet and was reading 50 different answers and then getting like way too bombarded by all this information and just couldn't comprehend any of it, and that's what just led me into a spiral. I wish I had some guidance, Because I think even if you take guidance of like only 3 months and you just kind of find your feet and you build that routine and then you do it by yourself independently, you know that's going to be a stronger foundation than it's going to be if you just search online and try and find something.
Exactly. Like, I love how it's just so personalized, because it's like, it's one-on-one coaching. So it's like, whatever you're doing because it's your body. Like you said before, you post workouts, but you don't post workouts for, so people can look like you. You post workouts so people can look like the best version of themselves. And that's something that I've learned too. It's like, I could eat, diet, workout exactly how Kendall Jenner does for 3 years. At the end of those 3 years, I'm not going to look like Kendall Jenner. Like, I have different bone structure. I have different height. Like, I have different, you know, leg length or whatever it may be. It's like, you can only be the best version of yourself. But I love how you kind of preach that through your Instagram and through your social media and through your program Evolve, because it's kind of just showing that everyone has their own beauty, and it's like finding that beauty within yourself and realizing that you're the only one capable of having this body and this face and this personality and these features is honestly so empowering.
Yeah, and I think it is so important just to, yeah, be the best version of you and take advantage of everything that you've got as well, because like you said, no one else has got everything you've got. So you've got something different. You should never compare yourself to someone else, because you're going to have something that they don't have. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, treasure what you have and stop worrying about what everyone else has.
Exactly. Before we end off, shout out your socials, where people can find you on Instagram, TikTok, your program, everything.
So all my socials are Hannah Tucker, just at Hannah Tucker, but it's actually spelled with 3 N's because apparently my name's super popular. And then I'm also on YouTube too, but that is just Hannah Tucker, but all the links are on my Instagram, which is like my biggest social.
Yeah, I will link everything down below. Are you on TikTok? You are,
right? I am, but it's not my strong point, I can't lie.
I was gonna say, I'm really struggling to
get into
TikTok. TikTok is tough. It honestly is like if you actually are putting out real content, it's tough to put out work. Like, it's a lot of editing, it's the voiceovers, it's the hashtags. Like, there's a lot of work to put into it to like have one video blow up.
Yeah, that's the thing. I literally am just waiting for a video to blow up, but I'm not consistent enough with it. Like, some weeks I'll be posting it all the time, and then other weeks I'll just forget. Because for me, like, my biggest platform is Instagram, so I'm kind of like all on that, and then YouTube, and then obviously doing my coaching, like that takes up a lot of my time now. So yeah, I just forget about it. It's really bad.
It's tough, but getting into it honestly can grow your platform so much, but you're killing it on Instagram, so I don't really think that you need it, honestly. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. You were so informative and amazing to have on. I know my community and everyone listening has probably gained so much inspiration. I hope you guys were kind of taking notes during this episode, because it was so informative and kind of just raw and vulnerable. And it just shows that just because you see someone having this fitness journey online, like, there were low points. My episode that I posted actually today as we're recording this was all about pulling myself out of a low point of like being on bed rest and everything. And I just think it's so good to show the realistic sides and the vulnerable, sensitive sides on social media, just to show people like, it's okay if you come from a low point, or, you know, you have to recover from something, because it happens to so many people.
Yeah. No one starts at the top as well. But yeah, exactly. Thank you for having me.